I hope even as we sang that last verse, you see just there's nothing new under the sun. Even in the psalmist day, it was that people swaggered about. Again, we're thankful that God is with us and able to bless us and keep us safe. Excuse me. So let's turn to the passage of God's word that we read, Exodus chapter 17. And you've probably figured out the words that we're going to consider. They're in verse 15. Exodus 17 from verse 15, and you read, "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, The Lord is my banner. The Lord is my banner." I wonder if any of you have ever heard of the Battle of Teutoburg. The only reason that perhaps you would have heard of it is maybe if you're a student of history, and in particular are interested in Roman history in terms of the Republic and so on. And it is that the Battle of Teutoburg, it took place in 9 AD. It was fought in the Teutoburg Forest, which is southwest of modern Hanover in Germany. And it was fought between the Roman legions and a confederation of Germanic tribes. And it was one of the worst defeats that was ever suffered by the Roman army in its entire existence. By the end of the battle, they reckon 15 to 20,000 legionnaires were dead, and it is that three entire legions were wiped out. And the one who was leading these groups of legionnaires, it is that he was a young protege of Emperor Augustus, and his name was Quintilius Varus. And upon hearing the defeat, it was the case that Emperor Augustus, according to the Roman historian Suetonius, that he was so shaken that he ended up banging his head against the wall and repeatedly shouting, "Varus," his young protege, "Varus, give me back my legions." And it is that it was something that had an effect on Augustus and indeed most of Roman society at that time. But as bad as all this was, the thing that was most devastating above all, not just the case that three full legions had been destroyed, was the fact that there was the loss of the three Roman eagle standards that it was that they would carry with them into battle. It is that the standards were known as the Aquila, and the legionary who would carry the eagle banner, you can picture it in your mind, in front of the Roman soldiers, it is that he was known as the Aquilifier. And it is that it was his task to carry the banner on into the battle and so on. And it is that the Roman legionaries, that they would look to this banner, they would look to this standard, and it was something that would inspire them in the battlefield, it would motivate them to march on, even in a sense to seek to fly with wings like eagles and to dominate as the eagles themselves seemed to dominate the sky. You see, the eagle of a legion which was found in that banner, it came to represent the legion itself. And the symbolism of the eagle goes back in terms of Roman mythology, and it is that they took this in terms of the false god Jupiter, who had an eagle as one of his symbols. And aside from the mythological significance of the eagle, the reason that the loss of a Roman aquila, a Roman standard, a Roman banner, it was something that was so shocking, so catastrophic, because it meant that Rome had suffered a great defeat, meant that multiple legions had either been captured or slaughtered or completely destroyed, as in the case here in the Teutoburg Forest, but it also meant that the world now knew that Rome's might had failed. That it wasn't just the case that Rome would always win every battle, but there was the possibility for the underdog, either in certain occasions, in certain ways, it was that the might of Rome could be conquered. And it is that I hope that you're seeing already something of the connection with what took place in the Teutoburg Forest in AD 9 and what it is that took place here between the children of Israel in Exodus 17 and the Amalekites of their day. When it is that the Israel faced the Amalekites in the Battle of Rephidim, it wasn't with an overwhelming force or an experienced army, or indeed the best of commanders. It is that this was the first nation to attack the children of Israel after the Exodus. It is that the Amalekites, sons of Amalek, they themselves didn't come into being till after Esau's time. And it's interesting that when you go to the League of Nations in Genesis chapter 10, that that's revealed, because it is that you find nothing concerning the Amalekites amongst the nations of that day. And it is that the children of Israel at this point, They were still a transient tribe of herdsmen and women. It is that they had escaped slavery from Egypt. They were traveling uncertainly to the promised land in an environment and in a situation that perhaps filled them with a sense of fear and foreboding, because it is that they knew that now they were trespassers through lands of fierce fighting peoples. It is that they had their women, their children, their herds, all their possessions. And so it is that even in spite of the thirst that was theirs, as we read of, that led to them moaning and grumbling and complaining against Moses and against God, it is that this first battle, it's significant because from a human perspective, it's a battle for survival, it's a battle for their hope, it's a battle in terms of their future. But the thing that was significant, the thing that was different, the thing that made all the difference in the world for these people, no matter who it was that would attack them in that day or in the years to come, was this, that they traveled with someone else too. They traveled with something else that no nation in the face of the earth ever had. It was, if you go back to Exodus 13, as they came out of Egypt and on across the Red Sea and started their pilgrimage into the promised land, it is that there was a pillar of fire and a cloud and a pillar of smoke. It was that they were a people who had the very presence of God, this theophanic presence, the pre-incarnate Christ. It is that he was with them even from that moment, and it is therefore that Israel did not fight its battles alone. No matter how inexperienced they were, no matter how overmatched they were, no matter how many considered them to be the underdogs in the battle, no matter how desperate perhaps they felt, they were never at a loss. Why? Because God was with them. God was in their midst. They were able to say, like the psalmist in Psalm 46, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. It is that the great general, the great protector, the great Yahweh, as it were, with them, leading them and guiding them. And that's the comfort and the strength for you and I here today, that when we find ourselves living in the same sort of environment as the psalmist spoke of in Psalm 12, when it is that we're seeing the world in a sense and the moral sensibility of the world being turned upside down, we as God's people and as God's church, we are indwelt by the Spirit of God and the God who has promised us that he will not leave us nor forsake us, and that he is building his church. Do we believe that? Even in spite of what it is that we see round about us, that God is building his church and that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that was something that these people knew on that day, that as they experienced this incredible victory, when it is that they seemed to beat all the odds of the day, it is that even in spite of the fact that Moses, that his arms had to be held up and so on, that he had to sit down in that rock that was provided for them, it is that after that incredible victory, we read these words in Exodus 17 and 15. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it, "The Lord is my banner." Or literally, Yahweh Nisi. Yahweh Nisi. It was a day for the nation to remember. It was their first time, as it were, in physical warfare. And God had showed them at this very significant juncture, even in the place of grumbling and moaning, when it would seem that they had forgot so readily what God had done for them in bringing them out of the land of Egypt and across the Red Sea, it reminded them that as a nation, that God fought for them, that it was that God led them into battle, that it is that he protected them on their behalf, and the reason being is that the Lord Yahweh was their banner. Now the question arises, I think, for us today. What does it mean for us that the Lord is our banner? What does it mean for us to be able to say that we know of Yahweh Nisi, that we know of the Lord as our banner? Well, we know it's significant. And I think it's got tremendous implications for us here today to be able to say that our Lord is Yahweh Nisi. How many of us, perhaps, even in the early days of this year, you feel that you're in a wilderness? You feel that you're wandering about, really not knowing where it is that you've to go. And it's as though the circumstances of the wilderness aren't enough Just like the children of Israel came under an unexpected attack from the Amalekites, maybe it is in your life, in your marriage, wherever it is that you are, that there's an unexpected attack. Perhaps it is that the light here may be lighting this place and outside. But for you, your circumstances, it is that you feel that your world is very dark. Could be just that when things are starting to go well in your marriage, the unexpected strain of whatever it is brings about new friction between yourself as husband and wife. It may be that you're fighting the invisible enemy of cancer, and nobody perhaps really knows the pain that you're suffering mentally and physically because of that disease. Or maybe as you've just got to the point where it is that you feel that you're beginning to turn the corner and that things are going better for you, then you've lost your job. It is that your financial source and your income, that it's gone. Maybe you felt that it was good to get the kids eventually back to school, and yet it is that the schools seem to be run over in terms of bugs and illness of one sort or another, and the kids perhaps are harder to deal with now than even in the days when it was that they weren't at school. And for you, it maybe feels like desperate times, and you feel that you're stuck in the wilderness. You feel that you've got a battle on your hands. And you feel just like the Romans in the Teutoburg Forest, and you're taken by surprise. How can these Germanic tribes defeat us? It's interesting when you read of the history of that battle that many of the legionnaires, they were so humiliated, and the fact that they were legionnaires of Rome wasn't the fact that the enemy killed them. It was the fact that in the midst of the battle that they fell on their own swords and committed suicide because of the shame that they felt that the might of Rome was being destroyed. Sometimes, let's be honest, sometimes we're not as honest as we should be with one another. And sometimes in the midst of the battles of life, there are some of us, I'm sure, at times who have felt as though we want to fall on a sword and never to see tomorrow again. And that's the way it is, desperate times. So what do? You rejoice and you look to Yahweh Nisi. You look to the Lord who is your banner. Why? Because firstly, it means that his purposes stand firm. When troops in olden times would go into a banner was raised, and the reason the banner was raised was as a rallying point and proof of their purpose. And on the battlefield, the soldier could become easily confused and he could lose his sense of direction. So what would they do? They would look around and they would look to the banner, and it is that they would focus their gaze upon the banner, upon the Aquila, as he was there with his banner and indeed any other army, and with the banner that was held up. Because you see, sometimes the wilderness can be confusing. Sometimes it is that you can feel lost, that questions pummel your mind, and it's easy to become distracted and to lose your focus. That's when it's good to believe and to know that as we have Yahweh Nisi, the Lord is our banner, that his purposes stand firm, that he is the one who appoints you, that he is the one who anoints you, that he is the one who enables you to go through even the valley of the shadow of death itself, and that he has promised not to leave you nor forsake you. Think of the way that the writer to the Hebrews puts it. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on the banner that God has raised in and through the person of his Son, and indeed even in Calvary's Hill. You see, a banner to be a banner has to be raised. Banners are raised to celebrate and to honor. It is that you go to the Scotia Bank Arena. And what is it you find if you're watching a hockey game? It is that you see that the rafters are full of banners of one sort or another. And it is that these banners are speaking of past victories and great individuals who played for the Toronto Maple Leafs or whoever it may be. And it is that these banners are communicating so much and saying so much to the people who are there. It's the same in Christ as our banner, as the one who was raised upon the cross, as the one who was raised from the dead, that we fix our eyes upon him. and that we again rejoice in the great victory that was accomplished in Calvary's Hill. If you go to a soccer match in the UK or indeed in Europe, one of the things, I haven't seen it here, although no doubt somebody will tell me if this has happened at a hockey match or another North American game. But one of the things that happens very often in Europe and in the UK is that you'll see a part of the stadium where the fans are. And what they do is they've got this massive banner, and maybe Hadji's face is on it or somebody else's name is on it. And it is that they start to unfurl the banner. And before you know where you are, you've maybe got about 2,000 people, and they're underneath this banner. And they're letting the banner be displayed in all its glory in the person whom it commemorates. Is that not what it means to be in Christ today? To be covered in the blood of Christ, the banner? And it is that as we're covered by Christ, that it is that we are able to proclaim to the world and even to those round about us that He is our Savior, that He is Lord. And when it is that even these people are under that banner, you hear them, they're cheering and they're shouting and they're rejoicing. Why are we not like that? My son, I was speaking with him on Monday, and he was telling me, he goes to a Reformed Baptist church, and he was with us, and our little granddaughter was there, Isla. And Mark said to me, "Isla, show Papa what it is that you do at church during the service." And she sort of stands there. Then the next thing, the hands are up, and she's going, "Hallelujah." And I'll be honest, the tears started to flow from my eyes, because I thought, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. And you see, the Pharisees, when Christ entered Jerusalem, the children were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David." And what did the so-called religious people do? They said, "Tell them to be quiet." And that's the problem. There are those who would say to us, "Be quiet. Don't praise the Lord. Don't lift your hands up and praise Him and bless Him and thank Him for all that He's done for you in Christ, and how He's unfurled the banner of the gospel to bless you." The banner means His purpose stands firm. The banner means that you know of His presence, that He's with you through every trial. When Joshua fought the Amalekites, Moses kept his arms lifted toward heaven in worship, and as a reminder to the people of Israel that God hadn't abandoned them. And by keeping his arms lifted toward heaven, Moses was honoring God as the ever-present God. And sometimes I think that when you feel like you've been shown desperate times and have been made to drink the wine of astonishment that makes you stagger, it's easy to feel abandoned. And the enemy of your soul wants to defeat you and to discourage you. And he sends doubts, and you wonder, where is God? Why doesn't God step in and do something? Oh, my friends, God has raised a banner over you, even in the person of Jesus Christ, to remind you, even as the children of Israel would be reminded from this moment onwards, that the presence of God was with them, and that God was fighting for them. As the writer to the Hebrews has said, He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. As Jesus Himself has said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." And that promise still holds true today as it did then. So God is your banner means that His purpose stands firm. It means that you know of His presence. It means also that God's provision will sustain you. That need that you have, He will provide. And He promises to supply all your needs. Think of the Apostle Paul, and he's in that Roman prison cell. He's facing imminent death. Every time the cell door opens, Paul's saying, "Is this it? Is this the moment?" and he's chained between two Roman legionnaires in that prison cell. And what does Paul write? Does he moan? Does he groan? Does he complain about the fact that God has led him to this point when he's done so much for God? No, Paul says, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And you see, maybe for some of us today, that's the way you feel, that the legionnaires of sin are either side of you and they're shackling you and you're wondering if it is that you will ever make it to the end. And there's a desperation that's arising in your heart and your minds. I would say to you, friend, in those moments, think of Jehovah Nisi. Think of Yahweh Nisi and rejoice that the Lord is your banner. Why? Because think of the names that we've considered over the past weeks, that Jehovah Nisi, Yahweh Nisi, that he is El Roy. He's the one and the strong one who sees you. That when it is that you feel lonely and abandoned by people and even by those who are your nearest and your dearest, God is with you. God sees you because he is Yahweh Nisi, who is also El Roy. But not only that, but he is Yahweh Yireh, that as Yahweh Nisi, it is that is experienced through the fact that he is Yahweh Yireh, the Lord who will provide, and the Lord who provides all things richly for his people. And then not only that, but when it is that you feel that you're unworthy, when it is that you know that you've fallen, as it were, that you've fallen prey to temptation and you've yielded to that temptation, and it is that your heart is accusing you, that he is Yahweh Sekenu, that Yahweh Nisi is the Lord your righteousness, and that your standing is on the basis of what he has done. And then if it is that you're distressed and you're wondering, where should I go? How should I be? Then know him as Yahweh Rophi. The Lord is my shepherd. That's what it means to be covered by Yahweh Nisi and to look to that banner. All these names are subsumed and are part and parcel of each other. Then if it is that you're hurting, he's Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our healer. As Yahweh Nisi, you can know him as the Lord, your healer. And then as we saw, was it 2 weeks ago? Yeah, 2 weeks ago. He is Yahweh Shalom, the Lord, our peace. Is anybody here or online today? And it is that you're not at peace. World's not at peace, we know that. The great leaders of the world at the moment, they may look as though they're in control, but I can imagine that many, if not most of them, deep in their hearts are concerned and are even frightened. What do the days ahead hold? Oh, how we should pray that they come to know of Yahweh Shalom. That it is that the banner that speaks so much would not be the banner of the nation that they're leaders of, but it would be the banner of Christ. And that's what we are able to know, his purpose, his presence, his provision. And then with the Lord as Yahweh Nisi, it means his protection brings victory. Victory. I sometimes have to check myself, because when I read and look at some of the things that are happening, it's easy to fall into negative thinking and to begin to wonder, is evil winning? When you see some of the crazy, crazy things that are beginning to become the norm in society, absolute madness has taken over. It really has. And you're tempted to think, is evil winning? But oh, this is saying to us, no. Because with Yahweh Nisi, with him as your banner, his protection brings victory. I was reading this week about a missionary couple, and they were in the southern Sudan. And it is that the husband was in a town where he was showing the Jesus film. Now, I'm not going going down the road of whether that's right or wrong to do. That's not the reason I'm bringing up the example. But it seems that a large crowd had gathered and they were watching the movie. And it came to the part of the film where they're portraying Jesus being whipped, Jesus being scourged. And it seems that you could have, there was such a silence. You could have heard a pin drop. Well, what they did hear happen was a click. And when the people heard that click, it seems that hundreds in the crowd ran for their lives. And when it is that he looked where the click came from, there stood a soldier of the South Sudanese militia or whatever it is. And he stood with tears running down his face. And his gun was pointed at the screen where the movie was being shown. And it is that this missionary, he went over to the individual and gently put his hand, it seems, on the barrel of the gun to lower the gun. And as he was doing that, he whispered to the soldier who was crying, he said, "It's okay. We win. It's okay. We win." It seems that the soldier put his gun away and fell to his knees sobbing. And he watched the rest of the movie in spellbound attention. Now you're saying, why bring that up? Well, for this reason. There may come a point when the troubles in your life, the troubles in my life feel overwhelming. There may come a point when it is that we lift up a metaphorical rifle. And when it is that someone hears the click and they're wondering, what's going to happen? Well, if that's the case, I've got good news for you today. And the good news is this. We win. We win. We win because Christ is victorious. We win because even though it is that he hung on the cross and his blood was shed, even though it is that he was mocked by the people, even though it is that he was scourged and wore the crown of thorns, even though it is that the nails were hammered into his hands and his feet and his spear mark in his side, and he went into the grave, we win. That's what this day proclaims, the Lord's days. It's victory day. We win. And even though it is that maybe some of our loved ones die before us, in Christ we win. The victory is not the graves. Never can be, never will be, because we win. We win because in Christ, under his banner, we have protection from the enemy of our souls. And this is the banner that all of us as God's people are called to love and to rejoice in Jesus Christ. And you see, Christ has always been the object of attack. You think of it in the battlefield, the Germanic tribes in the Teutoburg Forest. They knew the devastation it would cause to the Romans if they took away their standards, their banners. And it seems that even after the battle, that the Romans spent years trying to find these banners because it meant so much to them as a nation that they had lost these banners. They never found them. Maybe they're lying somewhere under some pile of dirt today, 2,000 years later, but the Romans never found them. But Christ, as our banner, he's always been the object of attack. And think of how it is that he's been rent on our behalf. As the bullets or the knives slashed the banners of old, did not the crown of thorns slash our banner? Did not the whip slash our banner? Did not the nails slash our banner? Did not the spear slash our banner? Did not the grave, as it were, try to hide forever the banner of God in Christ? Yet no. Unharmed, alive forevermore at the right hand of God. You see, atheism today threatens to tear the gospel banner to pieces. Modern skepticism has sought to get the banner and tear it apart thread by thread. And every now and again, fresh adversaries have found out some new method to try and to prove the gospel to be a lie and Jesus Christ an impostor. Have they succeeded? Will they succeed? No. No. Because the Lord is our banner, high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity and declares through his gospel banner today, I am Lord, I am victorious, I am alive forevermore. Think of the Lord in Revelation and when he appears to John, and the glorious way that John speaks of him, and that his voice was as the sound of rushing waters, alive forevermore. And can you imagine what it's going to be like in that day when the banners of the world and the philosophies and isms of one sort or another are pulverizing, it would seem, society in the world. And then that day, the heavens open and the banner appears. You know, it comes to mind. Think of how the gays rejoice in their pride banner. I was reading a few weeks ago where that banner came from. It goes back to the 1970s. And that banner is appearing in places you never thought it would appear. But oh, the day is coming when that glorious banner of the gospel in Christ and in the person shall appear. And every other banner will be seen for what it is. Mortal, mortal, fading away as nothing. So my question for you today is, what banner are you living under? What banner are you holding in your place of work, in your home, in your marriage, with your children? What banner are your children walking around with? Oh, I pray that all of us, without exception, here and online, that we would be able to say that the Lord is my banner. Yahweh Nisi. Amen. Let's stand to pray. Oh, Father, it is that we thank you that as we have been considering your names, the revelation that you have given of yourself, that we see that in every area of life that your names are so appropriate and applicable. And we pray that all of us without exception, that as we go out into the unfolding of your providence for us, that we would be able to say that we do so as those who live and breathe under the banner of the risen Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we are able to testify of how good Christ has been to us. We think, Lord, of Peter's mum Lydia and how she testifies and has testified for many years that the Lord is her banner. And we do pray, Lord, that for her and indeed your people throughout this world today, that we might be as a mighty army that goes forth with our banners unfurled. So, Lord, bless to us this word in your day. Forgive sin, we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Please be seated.